So how's everyone this evening? I had a funny story to tell you, a true story. So I was with my grandson the other day. I won't name which one, but one of them that can talk. I guess there's three of them, so you'll have to guess. And we're sitting on the couch, and he's sitting next to me, and he looks at me and says, "Grandpa." I said, "What, buddy?" He said, "Grandpa, when your alarm clock goes off in the morning, do you jump out of bed, take all your clothes off, and dance around naked?" I said, "No. But your Uncle Jeremy does." No, I didn't say that. Anyway, he really asked me that. It was hilarious. Hilarious. Kids say the cutest things. I never know what's going to come out of their mouth next. We'll see. We'll see. So, last week, last Friday, on this day, very early in the morning, I was driving down to Dubuque, Iowa. And I haven't been to Dubuque in 30 years. So it had been a long time since I'd been down there, obviously. And I didn't remember exactly how to get there. So I emailed the pastor who invited me down. I was going down to speak to some college students for the weekend. And so, of course, he Googled the directions for me, and then he sent them to me. And because I knew that I could trust this guy, because I knew that he'd lived in Dubuque his whole life, and because I knew he'd been to Minneapolis, I trusted that he sent me the right directions. And of course, we all know that Google never makes mistakes, because Google's like God, sort of, small g. And so I get the directions, and I lived in Iowa much of my life, but I never went to this part of the state. So I get these directions, and there's like 15 different steps. You know, they have them numbered 1, 2. They even tell you how to get out your own driveway, so I usually skip that part. And the farthest I'd ever been on this highway was to Rochester, which is about 70 miles south on 52. But I'm going to be going 242 miles. Now, the interesting thing, of course, we live in the day and age of Google. We just trust what comes up. And my friend sent it to me, so I followed all of the instructions. I didn't have a map with me. I'm a dinosaur. I didn't have a GPS with me. I'm an ancient dinosaur. I didn't have a smartphone or any phone with me. I'm just driving down the highway. The windows are down because my AC doesn't work, and I'm just having a good time, trusting that these directions, if I follow them, are going to get me exactly where I need to go. Well, 4.5 hours later, they did. They got me right where I was supposed to go. But you know, I find it fascinating that we live in a day and age where millions of people, and probably many of you, actually probably every person in this auditorium tonight, has used a GPS of some kind. Now, some of you have the app on your phone. I've even seen people, I was riding with a friend recently in Colorado, and he goes, "Here, Mark, just set my phone on the dash there. I've got a GPS, you know, app." And the thing's just telling us where to go, and this little voice is speaking to it. My daughter, she's got a Garmin, and I think it has a female voice, and it tells you where to turn and where to go. You just punch in the address, and you end up where you're supposed to be. Millions and millions of people across this nation have spent billions, when you add it all up, for a little box they can put on their dash or their phone that will tell them anywhere they need to go. Because they know, they don't know how to read a map, it's easier, they want a stress-free ride, and they want to make sure they get where they're going to go. And it's an extraordinary invention. Don't get me wrong, I have nothing against it. But wouldn't it be awesome if you had a GPS for life? You ever thought about that? I mean, I can figure out how to get to Iowa. But figuring out how to stay married, that's a different thing. Figuring out how to deal with all the garbage that you know is inside of you, that's a different thing. Figuring out how you're supposed to deal with the moron at work, that's a little bit different thing. Figuring out how you're supposed to deal with all your money problems, that's a little bit different thing. figuring out what kind of moral decisions you should make, knowing that you can't see the future. Just like you really can't see on your GPS what's down the road. You just hope that that satellite is positioning you appropriately and that someone programmed the thing right. That's called faith. And you put your faith in that box. Most of you don't carry a paper map just in case it doesn't work. You just trust in the box. And I got to thinking, man, I tell you, wouldn't it be awesome if there was a GPS for life? Let me read a verse to you. It has been one of my life verses, but I found it the last week in the Living Bible. Psalm 119, 18 through 20. Open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word. I am but a pilgrim here on earth. Means I'm a stranger. I'm a wayfarer. I'm not accustomed to this planet. I don't belong here. How I need a map. And your commands are my chart and my guide. I long for your instructions more than I can tell. The Berkeley version says, my soul is breaking with longing for your ordinances at all times. There it is. Right there is the answer for life for every one of us. God has given us a GPS. God has given us His command. He is globally positioned. He never moves. He never changes. He's set. All of His laws are in perfect harmony to the others. There's never a certain stretch of God's moral highway that's under construction and you're like, screwed. You know, you went so far and then you're like, oh, God, okay, the bridge, where do I go now? God has His commands. It's a chart. I mean, I just absolutely love this verse. And I can tell you, honestly, I'll get into this a little bit tonight, that for 37 years of my life, this has been my secret. This has worked. It has worked. God's GPS system, the Bible, has guided me in every single area of my life. The first thing that we have to understand is I have to have a heart that says, open my eyes to see wonderful things from your word. You ever ridden with somebody, typically a male, but I've seen females do this too, that no matter how long you've been lost, they won't admit it. They're going to figure it out. You ever been like, maybe it was your father when you were growing up, you know, and you're just driving and driving. Are we lost? No, we're not lost. I'll figure this out. And all this time gets wasted. Stress. Maybe the temperature in the car is starting to go up. And everybody's getting frustrated because so-and-so won't just stop and ask for directions. I had my friends, the directions to Dubuque, and I was in the last, what I understood anyway, was going to be the last several miles. And one thing my friend failed to tell me, because again, he just punched in Google for my street address and sent me the written directions. I like written directions. He forgot to tell me that I would not go all the way into Dubuque. And there's this little, dinky, tiny road. So I'm driving through this, I mean, first of all, I'm stunned by how beautiful it is. Once you get south of Rochester, I was like, I was in the Blue Ridge Mountains, Tennessee. I'm driving, winding up and down. I get to Decorah. I'm up and down through the woods. I can roll my window down and almost touch trees on each side of me. They're kind of over the road. There's cliffs. There's these old stone farmhouses and ranches and horses. And I'm just kind of like, this is awesome. And I'm driving, and I get to a place called Sageville, and all of a sudden I turn my head really fast, and I see behind me this little twisted sign with the word that was the road I think I'm supposed to find. But you know how it is sometimes when one road is kind of named the same as another one you find eventually down the road. So I thought, that can't be it. So I didn't trust the map. So I kept driving. I've gone about 8 more miles. Now I'm in the rough area of Dubuque, as if there could be a rough area of Dubuque if you're from Minneapolis. But trust me, there were signs all around. I was in Central Avenue, down by the river, down in Dubuque. So I'm driving along, and I'm like, Yep, gonna stop. I ain't gonna be that typical male. At 55, I've learned a little humility. So I stopped at the BP station and I said to the guy, I walked in, I said, "Do you know where Rupp Hollow Road is?" He goes, "Well, yeah, that's about 8 miles back that way." I'm like, "Thank you, it's all I needed to know." I turned around and I went back the other way. But you know, you can imagine some guys are like, "I'm going to find the starlight. I'm just going to drive all over the place and drive and drive and drive." All I had to do was exercise a little humility and ask. With God, the same is true. The first thing that we have to bring to the Word of God, to God, is an attitude that says, "Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Show me wonderful things from your Word. Show me wonderful things. I'm here, Lord, because I want you to speak to me." Second thing we have to understand is the recognition that we don't know what we don't know. See, you and I need to bring to God the same perspective that everybody today is bringing to directions. They don't trust themselves. It's amazing. Of course, they've not gone through this process. They just think it's cool technology, so they use it. But what they're really saying is, "I'm a dummy. I don't trust myself." Boom. Garmin. I'm going to 1827 Ridgeline Lane in Blaine, Minnesota. "Hello, Mr. Darling. Nice to see you today. Just back out of your driveway." "That's right. Back out. No, no. Back to the left. Okay. Drive down. Now take a right." I mean, the thing talks to you the whole way. It's unbelievable. One of these days, I'll have a machine to wipe our own noses for us. And so people, all of a sudden, they have this humility towards a box. And they're just driving stress-free. We need to bring that attitude to God that says, "God, I don't know on my own how to live life like I ought to." But therein lies the problem. Most of us really truly believe, yeah, humans have been living life for a long, long time. Have you ever looked out lately at humanity? It's quite a mess. You know, I've said this before, but you ever looked out honestly at most people's marriages? They aren't working. Why? Because they refuse to go to God's Garmin. They refuse the app. They don't understand. They don't know what they don't know. They think they know what to do. They think they understand how to raise kids. They think they know how to deal with their money. But they don't. And so we have this attitude that says, "God, I'm a pilgrim and I need a map. And my map is your commands, and it's my chart and my guide." And then we need this attitude. And if you've ever been lost, I've been lost before in places that you don't want to be lost. And I can tell you that it causes a physiological reaction in one's body. And my stomach starts to hurt. My head starts to hurt. My back starts to knot up. And I get real fidgety. And I'm like, "I've got to get out of here." But I can't figure out which way to go. I had that happen once when I was in the mountains. And it was getting kind of cold. And it was not a pleasant experience. And fortunately, probably it was the Lord because I prayed. I guessed the right way and ended up, after quite some time, back where I needed to be. But there was a good amount of time I was really mixed up where I was. We have to bring this desperation to God that says, "Lord, my soul is breaking with longing for your commands at all times." I want you to ask yourself the question, does that describe you? Is there an intense desire, a longing that you have? "God, teach me. God, show me. God, I want to know." I want to read something kind of comical, but I think it'll make the point. Imagine you type into your life GPS address, better marriage. It says, 1, go south on Humble Highway, 50 miles. 2, go east on Forgiveness Street, 10 miles. 3, go south on Compassion Avenue, 3 miles. 4, go west 5 miles on Generosity Lane. 5, better marriage, 1879 Generosity Lane. Now, you know, it's kind of comical, but that's almost exactly how the Bible works. And I'm going to explain that to you tonight. The Word of God has been my lifesaver multitudes of times. I was recently with a couple, and they were looking for some marriage advice. They're in a very difficult situation. They're in a difficult situation between the two of them because they have not done what we're talking about tonight. They have not recognized they desperately need the map. They desperately need to know what they don't know. And then they desperately need to follow it. I mean, again, it's just amazing. We'll get into our cars. Some of them are $3,000 cars. Some are $50,000 cars. And we'll just follow what Google tells us to do. We're just driving down the road. We're driving blind. We got a sheet of paper or we got our little Garmin and we're just following it. We don't have a backup plan. Well, you've got your phone, you know. So if you're really getting in trouble, you got your phone. And you're just following it. We've got to learn that God is more trustworthy even than your phone app. God's word is trustworthy, and he can show you insights and show you a way in which you can win in your finances. By win, I mean make smart decisions. Here's one. I thought, let's just type in better finances. And so it says to you, go north on Frugal Highway 200 miles. Two, go east on Stop Eating Out Street 50 miles. Three, go north on Pay Down Debt Lane 60 miles. Four, go west on Just Say No to Cable Street, 10 miles. Five, go north on Stop the Starbucks, 5 miles. Six, go east on No More Credit Card, 8 miles. Seven, Better Finances, 1920 Smart Decision Street. It's all true. Did you know there's a simple proverb that says, wine and luxury are not the way to riches. You want to go broke? Treat yourself like you deserve to drink all the time and eat out dinner. You know what you're saying when you eat out? You're hiring a chef and waitresses to wait on you because you think you deserve it. Very few Americans eat the majority of their meals today at home, and they're going broke. And they don't grasp that I have no right to be eating out when I can't even pay down my debt. But they do it anyway. And they pay the minimum balance. And they're in trouble. Everywhere you look in America, Americans are in trouble financially because they don't follow the GPS. They're not content with what they have. They're not willing to fix what broke and could still be used because they want something new. The Bible tells us all those things. Really does. I'm not making this up. It really does. We need God's truth, God's commands to guide us, to help us navigate life, navigate relationships, navigate parenting, our finances, our marriage, our moral decisions, and on and on and on. The Bible helps us navigate how to think. The Bible helps us navigate how to manage our emotions. So many people, their emotions get the better of them. I understand that. I have to deal with my emotions on a daily basis in one form or another. God deliberately gave us emotions. But if we don't know how to apply God's map, God's truth to our life, our emotions will lie to us. Our heart will deceive us. See, what you need to understand about us as humans, the Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I do not trust my heart. I want you to know this. I do not trust my own heart. I trust the Spirit of God who God put in me when I came to Christ. And I trust the Word of God. And as I was sharing with this couple the other evening, I said, you are at the most critical point that you've ever been in your relationship. And we can either go forward from this point, forward, and up, it will go up slowly, but up, or we'll fall right off this table, right off the precipice of this table. You're going to have to make this primary decision. You're going to have to decide to do what you don't feel like doing, but what God says is the right thing to do. You ever been maybe on a trip, again, you're trusting your little Google thing or your app thing, and you've been driving and driving, and you're going, I don't know, this just doesn't feel right. I just think I've come too far. But the little app says, keep going, keep going. You're going to have to decide, do you trust the app or do you trust what's going on in your gut? And I have been in situations like that where it's like, you know, I was using a map, not the Garmin. This was a long time ago, and I was driving to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And it just seemed like I was driving forever to get to this one point. So I pulled over to the side of the road because I was getting this weird feeling. And I pulled out the map, and I realized that this map, if I take the little scale, wow, even though it looks short on my map, the map was right. It was a long ways and much farther than I thought it was going to be, by about another 80 miles. So I'm glad I stopped, checked out the little GPS, the little map, and didn't listen to my gut, because what I wanted to do was turn around and go the other direction because I was sure I missed the turn. We can be the same way. We've got to learn by faith to trust God, who has positioned his word at the right juncture for every decision in our life. We've got to learn to trust him. We've got to learn to believe, you know what? He's the wisest. He doesn't make mistakes. He knows what he's doing in this situation. He knows what he wants me to do in this situation. I had a young person write me this morning about a very difficult job situation. And a quick little background. They're in a situation where they were, someone basically lied about them and said that they volunteered for something that they didn't. They truly didn't. So and it related to a lot of extra time they were going to have to put in at work. And they told the supervisor, I did not. No one even asked me that question. And they were put in a very difficult spot. And the person wrote me, said, Mark, what should I do? Should I go to the supervisor above them? I feel very wrong. This is a very unjust situation. And I said, it is very wrong and it is very unjust. That's exactly the way Jesus Christ was treated. And my advice in this situation, if I was in this situation, I would simply imitate Christ. I would simply say, you know what? I believe there was some mix-up here, but if you all say you need me to work these hours, then I'll work these hours and I'll be here. And I trust God to vindicate me, that the meek will inherit the earth, and that God will use me through this unjust circumstance. Now, I can point you to exact ordinances, commands in the Bible that indicate what I just said. All these years of reading the Bible, many of these things come to me almost instantaneously. To use another little analogy, the Holy Spirit is like the hard drive, the processor that God put in our body. The Word of God is the data, and we have to enter it, kind of the software, and then the data. We have to keep the data there so that the Holy Spirit, through the software, can use the data to direct us. That's how it works. That's how it works. You just have to be the one who's entering it. You have to be the one who's entering it. And God can help you make very good decisions every single time. But so often, let's be honest, we don't stop. We don't stop to ask, what don't I know? We don't stop to say, God, right now, lead me. God, I need your help. God, show me wisdom. And then we don't open up the map. And we start looking. You know what? I need to find out what God wants me to do. I'm going to close here with a little true story. I'd like to read something to you I wrote, and it'll make sense as I explain it. So my anniversary, my 33rd anniversary, was about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, the Bible tells us to examine our ways. It tells us that. To reflect. It says the stubborn man continues on, but the wise man reconsiders. The Bible tells the Philippians that finally, whatever's good, whatever's lovely, whatever's praiseworthy, put your mind on these things, the God of peace will be with you. The Bible tells us in everything to give thanks. So a few weeks before my anniversary, I was up early one morning, and I was thanking God for Kathy. And as I was praying for her and thanking God for her, I just sat down on the computer and I wrote this, and then I passed it on to the many of the young men that I work with who right now, most of them are married. So I wrote, good morning, men. I'm reading this so you can illustrate how the Word of God literally guides me even in these years of my life. I've been reflecting a lot over the last several days in my prayer times and in my thinking of the wonderful privilege God has given me to be married to Kathy. In a few weeks, I will be at 33 years of marriage. As I've been praying, praising, thanking, and just simply reflecting on these years, God has greatly encouraged me in a few things I wanted to share with you. I found it so profound, thinking about the age-old vows that rarely anyone uses anymore, and just how insightful to real life they are, for better, for worse, in sickness, in health, till death do us part. When I was young, engaged to Kathy, a small newspaper wrote a story about our love, our engagement, and the joy and trial of our situation. Many were moved by it. I know Kathy and I were so grateful to God for what He had given us, but little did we know then the journey that God would take us on through the next 33 years. What a journey it has been. Filled with, yes, great joys, especially our children, great times together, but also great trials, great pain, great anguish of heart. You know, the worst part, the sickness part. These things, they are the ones that have really built our love. They have given us the opportunity to demonstrate our committed love for each other. They have especially been poignant for me. I have been struck deeply this last week of the incredible richness and blessing that Kathy is to me. The gift God has given me in her life, in her very being, in all that she is, period. It has brought me to tears of gratefulness, but also awakened in me an even greater desire and passionate zeal to love her beyond what I have these last 33 years. I have seen that these great health challenges that she deals with every day and every night are an incredible opportunity to show her greater love, greater tenderness, greater gentleness, greater compassion, greater honor, greater respect, greater care, empathy, considerateness, and to show her how much I cherish her in every way I can imagine. I've seen that our infinitely loving God, who calls me to love her as Christ loved the church, wants to take me a mile high farther in my godness, my ability to show her love beyond what I have shown before. And with an intense embracing, I long to show it. She means that much to me. I've been asking God that the last 25 years of my life, which will take me to 80, or in other words, the rest of my life, that I would go into the infinite God much deeper and to show a greater degree of that infinite love here in this finite world, especially to this gem of a woman that God has given to me. I realize what a treasure these days of sickness really are. You see, even at 55, I can show more in loveness and love to this precious woman than I ever could as a love-struck 23-year-old. My love can show so greatly today against the backdrop of her sickness and her pain in its great considerateness, its greater sacrifice, its greater empathy, its greater compassion, its greater understanding, its greater tenderness, its greater preferential treatment, its greater honor of her, its greater kindness, its greater patience. In every possible way, I can show this passionate, divine love more for this wonderful lady. I wanted to pass this on to all of you who I love dearly and am honored to serve with, that as you go through the years together, as many of you are going through great trials, oh brothers, love that precious girl more and more. It is a privilege you get only in this life. Then it's over. Praying for greater godness in my life, Mark. All that I wrote right there, I'm not a writer, that isn't even very good. But it's sincere, and I mean it. And it all came because I'm reflecting on God's map. All came because I'm reflecting on God's map. And I can honestly tell you, and if my wife is here tonight, she would tell you, even since I wrote this, I have been striving harder. Harder. I realized as I was in prayer over this, God showed me, you know, Mark, sometimes you're just gruff. You answer Kathy kind of gruffly. You answer, there's kind of an edge to it when you answer. You kind of roll your eyes. And I realize, you know what, Lord? I just need to be more like you. I've been meditating on the verse that husbands ought to love their wife like Christ loved the church. And I just began to think, Lord, you are infinite in your patience, infinite in your love. Here's a practical example I'll end with this story. So I recently was sent a gift. Several hundreds of dollars. And I have an elliptical machine. Some of you know my elliptical machine is my prayer machine. I pray on that machine every day before I go out to walk. The main reason I do and don't walk for my full hour is because of plantar fasciitis in my foot. So it keeps my foot planted and I can still do my prayer walk. Well, the elliptical machine that I bought, a bearing is going out of it, and it makes a pretty profound and ugly noise. So I wear very good earplugs when I'm on my elliptical. And then it's not quite so bothersome. So I thought when I got this gift, I thought to myself, you know, I think I'll get a good elliptical. And I threw it out to Kathy. She goes, oh, Mark, that'd be great. I'd love for you to get another elliptical. So I went on this trip, and I came back. But before I came back, I got up early one morning, as I do when I travel, and I was praying up and down this hill in Dubuque, Iowa, walking and praying. And I said, Lord, I want to ask you, what should I do with that money? I really want to know what I should do with that money. And I've been thinking, Lord, about my wife and how I can love her more. And the Lord just said to me, then Mark, don't get the elliptical trainer. Instead, give her the money so she can get 8 intense massages. It was enough money to buy 8 intense massages. And she needs them. The doctors have told her to get as many as she can. But I just haven't had the money for her to get more than 2 a month till I got this. So I went down, as soon as I got home, I went down to my computer the next morning and I wrote a really long letter to Kathy. I slid it under her door to let her know, Kathy, the money is yours. And I've divided it by this much, and with the cost, you could go get 8 massages. She was so touched. It blessed her life. And you know what verse I was using? Brothers, consider the interest of others more important than your own. Consider the interest of others more important than your own. If you were to take everything I told you tonight, your entire life would change. This is how the map works. We go to it with a humble and eager desperation. God, speak to me. God, open your word in my life. And then with a sincere desire to do it, to follow it. Nobody gets in their car, punches in the app to go to wherever they're going to go, and then goes the opposite direction. Their app is to use. They want to do what the app tells them to do, so they get to where they want to go. But the vast majority of Christians, they carry a Bible. They touch their Bible. The Bible sits right there. They might even read the Bible. But doggone it, they're not going to do it. That's way too hard. I'm not going to do it. I was just at this conference. I'll close with this. And I had one of the older gentlemen who was there. He's not older than I am, but older than all the students. He wrote, he said, you know, Mark, I got to admit, I was, he was actually the pastor who invited me. He said, I was more challenged than I've been at any time in my life. He said, I sat in that audience, I listened to everything you said, and I realized, you know, I've been going to church a long, long time. My whole background, you know, I have a kind of a Christian background, and I've heard people talk, and I've heard really nice, pretty sermons. But you know what struck me? Everything you shared, the transparency, you were doing it. You were doing it, and it blew my mind. I realized the level of discipline you have, I don't even come close to. I don't even come close to. And I realized there are things that need to immediately change in my life. So I'm just following the GPS. This book's everything to me. This book has guided me in my parenting. This book continues to guide me in my marriage. This book even continues to guide me in relationships, in leadership decisions with the church, with my belief systems, with how I look at the world, with my biblical worldview, with how I deal with my money. Everything is in this book. This book imparts wisdom. The God of this book, who in his great vastness sees our humility to come to him, to go to this book, will show you the steps you need to take in your life for whatever it is you're facing. And you, of course, additionally can get godly counsel. Make a couple phone calls. Write me an email or someone else who's really walking with Christ. And they can help take this book, this GPS, and guide you. Christ can change your life. His word
is power.
And I want to really encourage you again. This is your best friend. This is your GPS for life. Make sure you use it. Father, we just thank you today for the power of your word, for the power of truth. Lord, I just thank you that even in my older age, you're still speaking to me. You still guide me. I still need this, Lord. I'm still flesh. I haven't changed. I'm not an angel. I'm not sort of halfway between angel and man, God and man. I'm a carnal sinner with a deceitful, wretched heart. I need your word. I need this chart. God, I'm a pilgrim on the earth. But I'll tell you, I'm so thankful that you have helped me develop a habit to enter this data into my heart and in my mind. And your spirit calls it to mind. And your spirit leads me into truth. And your spirit guides me into what I should do as I study it. Lord, I was pondering the verse today that humility and reverence for the Lord will make a man both wise and honored. Oh, that we would really believe that. Humility, teachability, a broken heart, a deep reverence for God that says, God, I trust you more than I trust my garment. And I need you to guide me and lead me. You will. Please do it, Lord. Change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a great Memorial Weekend.